I want to just speak just for a couple minutes, and then we're gonna sing some more carols. But I want to just speak to you about the strangeness. I want you to think about this: the strangeness of the message of Christmas. Specifically, I want to talk about the strangeness of the story of the wise men. I think we had a pretty strange wise man here just a little bit ago. Good job, though. Good job. Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. Verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Verse 10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. I want to leave you with three strangenessy things of this text, okay, if that's a word. Okay, but the first thing I want you to see is that the wise men, they had strange guidance. Strange guidance. Would you agree with me that a star leading the wise men to the Savior was strange guidance? You know, when you look through the scriptures, most all the characters of the Bible went through seasons of strange guidance till they found their purpose. I could name one after the other, but a couple that pops to my mind. One is Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph was led through strange guidance. He was thrown in a pit. He spent years in prison as well. See, the Lord was leading him to his purpose, was leading him to his destiny, but it took the pit and it took the pit and prison to prepare him for the palace, because he would become the second most powerful man in Egypt. Strange guidance. And another man who was led with strange guidance was Jonah. He was strangely led into the belly of the whale. He had to go through strange guidance through the belly of the whale to find his purpose. And I bet many of you have gone through seasons of strange guidance to get to where you are today. Strange guidance. But God was directing you. God was directing you. I want you to understand that. Even though it was strange guidance, God was directing you. I'm sure a lot of you have gone through circumstances that you would have this year that you probably would have never thought you'd have to go through. Strange guidance. But God was directing you. It was strange guidance. It was strange guidance that led the wise men to the Savior. Strange guidance. And I know oftentimes we don't like this strange guidance, do we? We don't like these difficult circumstances. We don't like all of these issues. And a lot of times we have more questions than answers. Why are you strangely guiding me? Anybody ever question God? Why are you guiding me through this way and that way? But have you ever thought that maybe it takes that strange guidance for God to lead you and prepare you to the plan that he has for you and to the purpose and the destiny that he has for you? See, it took the pit. It took the pit. It took the prison for Joseph to be prepared for the palace. Strange guidance. The wise men were strangely led to the Savior. And I'll tell you what, for me standing up here today, I wouldn't be standing here today if there wasn't a little strange guidance along my path for a lot of you. But here's what I've discovered. I'd rather go through seasons of strange guidance and face some difficult circumstances and know that God is directing me to my destiny and my purpose and know that I'm experiencing the Savior than to have just a life of smooth sailing, life is easy, but miss my destiny, miss my purpose, miss the Savior. See, the whole point is to get to Jesus. The whole point is to get to Jesus. So we strange guidance, strange guidance. And I want to just let you know tonight that I don't know what led you here, but I believe that God has got you here for a purpose. I believe that God has led you here so, like the wise men, you can find the Savior. The second thing, if you look at verse 11, it says, "And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." The second observation I want you to see is that they offered him strange gifts. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. What a strange gift combination. Gold refers to the deity of Christ. It means that they recognized that Jesus was God in flesh. Frankincense. Frankincense refers of that he's worthy of worship. In the temple, the priests would burn frankincense in the temple, and the sweet fragrance of the frankincense would rise up to God, and God would receive that. It represented the sweet fragrance of worship. The third gift was myrrh. Myrrh. This was probably the strangest of gifts because myrrh was what they used to embalm the dead. So they bring gold, they bring frankincense, and they bring myrrh. Why did they bring myrrh? Because they recognized prophetically that this baby was born to die. That they recognized that this was the baby who would be the sacrifice for our sins. He would be the sacrifice for my sins, for your sins. Without the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we would not have salvation. We would not have everlasting life. So they presented myrrh before the king. And here's what I want you to see, because Jesus wants a strange gift from you this Christmas. The strange gift is not your best. The strange gift is not you becoming this great Christian person where you give everything. Do you know the strange gift that Jesus... This is the only thing Jesus is asking from you. He's asking for you to give him your sins. Your shame. Your condemnation. Your guilt, your despondency. See, in the kingdom of God, it's a strange gift exchange. See, Jesus, he don't exchange gifts the way we exchange gifts. See, you give a good gift to me, I'm going to give a good gift to you. But in the kingdom of God, we give him our bad, and he gives us his good. We give him our sins, and he gives us his forgiveness. We give us our despondency. He gives us his hope. We give him our death. He gives us his life. We give our worst. He gives us his best. And why? Why is that? Why is that what all Jesus asked for? Because that's all we have to give him. For I've read in the Bible where it says there's no one righteous. No, not one. Strange guidance. Strange gift. And lastly, in verse 12, it says, "Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." I love this verse because my third point is that they left a strange new way. Strange guidance, strange gifts, and a strange new way. See, after coming to Jesus, after they met Jesus, they had to leave a different way. And I want you to think about that. They couldn't go back the same way they came from. And that's what happens when we come to Jesus. When we come to Jesus, we might have come to him one way, but once we meet him, he changes our direction and he sends us back another way. a strange new way. You might have got here through strange guidance. You might have come through strange circumstances. I don't know how you've all got your story. You might have come through grief, through sorrow, through shame, through despond. But I'm just here preaching tonight to you to let you know you can leave another way. You can, and it's a new direction. It's the way of life. It's the way of joy. It's the way of peace. It's the way of hope. That's the new way that I'm talking about. And that's what happens when you come to the Savior. Maybe you're seated out there, and I'm closing. This is my message. But maybe you're seated out there tonight, and maybe inside your mind, you're thinking, okay, you're talking about leaving a new way after getting to Jesus. But maybe you feel that, forget leaving another way after getting to Jesus. I've messed up so much. I don't even know if I'm going to get to Jesus. Maybe you're seated out there, and you feel like you've taken the wrong turn. You're at a dead end street. There's no hope. Forget leaving a new way. I don't think I'm gonna even get to him in the first place. And I bet there's probably people watching online, seated out there. And I recently, this past year, I was able to buy a little house here, and it's a new address. It's a new house. And so if you know with new addresses, you're not in the GPS. I don't know how we survived without GPS and Siri and whatever, all of them. I mean, when's the last time anybody's ever looked at a map, an atlas? Good gracious, the ancient of days. Oh my goodness, the map. I don't even own a map except on my phone. But what happens is a lot of these addresses aren't in the GPS. And my daughter came down to visit me for the first time several months back, and I couldn't give her the correct address. I had to give her my neighbor's address that's in there, and so she enters it in. She calls me like at midnight or so, and I was worried about her. She calls me, and she said, I'm lost. She said, these directions have literally put me right in the middle of Keystone Heights Cemetery. She was sitting... how did you? She's like, are you dead? Are you a zombie? How do you? But she was in the cemetery. So Dad, I'm like, hold on, you know. I'm like, stay on the phone. I'll talk you in. I'll go outside. I'll turn on the lights. I'll go out the driveway because it's a gravel dirt road, and I'll walk down the driveway, whatever. And so I'm on, you know, I'm talking, and finally, and it's pitch black where I live, I'm telling you. And so finally, I see she's got a Mustang, so I hear the motor, and I see the light, and I'm, you're home. See, I let her in. She called me. And when she left, I gave her new directions to take back home. I didn't lead her through the cemetery. And see, that's what I'm saying is there might be some people that feel like you're at a dead place, that you're at a dead end street. You've taken a wrong turn. Whether you made the decision yourself, or whether you got around, made the wrong choice, or whether the enemy put you and dropped you off at that lost dead end place. But I'm just telling you that there's a Heavenly Father who's waiting on you to call Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, I'm telling you, God is greater than Siri. God is greater than Siri. He's going to answer the phone. He's not going to put the phone down. He's going to be out on the front porch. He's going to lead you and guide you in. And when you come to Him, He's going to give you a new direction, a new way, a new course of life. Strange guidance. Maybe that's you. Jesus wants your strange gift. He wants your sins, your shame, everything that's bad. He wants you to give it to Him, and He'll give you a new way. a new course. And I want to just ask you to bow your heads if you would. And just for the next couple minutes, would you please just ponder, meditate, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and what are you saying? Because this could be the greatest decision that you've ever made in your life, because you've come to a place of acceptance and a place of love and a place of grace. And the Father's waiting for you to call upon Him, and He wants to lead you to His Son, because His Son is the Savior of the world. If you're in here today and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can pray this little prayer. If you mean this from the bottom of your heart, you can pray this. Whosoever shall call, like I said, upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You could say, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for me. Right now, right where you're seated, you could pray this prayer. You believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, I believe you died for me. I believe you shed your blood for me. I give you my sins. I give you my shame. I give you my despondency. Go ahead right now. Right now, I'm just going to let you, whatever you need to give to God, you do it right where you're seated. Whatever it is, whatever's bad in your life, give to Him now. Whatever affects you affects God. Maybe this Christmas season, maybe there's some strife in the family. Strife with children. Maybe you've lost a loved one this year. This will be the first year you're going to be without that loved one. Give Jesus your sorrow. Give Him your sorrow. The Bible says He bore our griefs. He bore your grief. He wants to fill you with His presence. He wants to turn your weeping and your mourning and your sorrow into joy. Give it to God. I give this to you now. I need you to help me, God. And now, Father, in Jesus' name, as we close in a time of carols, you know the needs. I don't know the needs, but you know right now the needs that are represented in this place. And I pray that your presence, your Spirit, would overshadow their heart, their life right now, that you would bring comfort and joy to their life. That they would receive the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.